We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The Upswing. Business headlines today. I love this show. Fast and furious. A good look at boots on the ground reporting all the business news you need to know. And a little bit more, for sure. What's on our agenda? Well, candidate visits. I don't know. I had this thought. We're the epicenter of the political world here in the state of Wisconsin, but all the candidates seem to be skipping the local diners, the local coffee houses, and I kind of wanted to know why. So Rich Kirchen and I, Rich is the senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Rich and I will talk about that a bit. A lot happening in Kenosha. Some restaurant news. There's always restaurant news in greater Milwaukee. Brewers and Bucks TV broadcast buzz, pickleball in South Milwaukee, and much, much more coming up later in the show. But first, as we do each and every morning, a couple fun items, and we're going to go two up.
Now it's time for the
2 up
on The Upswing.
2 up, things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know. Like I said, we're going to have a little fun this morning. McDowell's first had the, get this, 2 chicken patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles on a sesame seed bun. Wait, chicken? McDowell's? What is McDowell's? Did you hear this? McDonald's did a pop-up in L.A., called the store McDowell's in downtown L.A., a one-day-only restaurant, served what it's called the chicken sandwich, which is really a Big Mac with 2 tempura battered chicken patties instead of beef. It was a creative way to launch the chicken Big Mac, which is debuting tomorrow. This restaurant had kind of its own M logo to distinguish itself from the Golden Arches. A pop-up creative way to promote all the regular items, fries, apple pies, soft serve, all that stuff you get at McDonald's. But a creative marketing vehicle to talk about this massive chicken nugget with mac sauce that's debuting tomorrow at McDonald's. The sandwich features some of the familiar toppings of a Big Mac, but as I said, 2 tempura battered chicken patties in place of the 2 all-beef patties. Did a little research. The calories on this thing, 530 calories. Total fat, 20 grams. Total carbohydrates, 61 grams. Downtown Indy stores already have it. That's priced at $4.59. If you want fries with that, a little bit of buzz in the business of fries. Lamb Weston, the largest producer of French fries in North America and a major supplier to fast food chains, is closing production in one of its plants in Washington State. The company announced last week that it would lay off nearly 400 employees, or 4% of its workforce, mainly seeing that sales have dropped 35% this year because a lot of places like McDonald's are going from that medium fry to the small fry in their value meals. Keep an eye on that for sure. You're also probably keeping an eye on your Amazon account. Some big deals. The Amazon Prime Big Deal Days are on right now. Just out of curiosity, I searched Milwaukee. Mainly Milwaukee tool items on Amazon, as you'd expect. Not a ton of deals on Milwaukee items, but I found one that's pretty creative and could be a solution to the Milwaukee flag. There is this red Milwaukee tool flag, nothing but heavy-duty banner, 3 by 5 feet for a college dorm or maybe a man cave or a garage. The list price, $19.99, but for Prime Big Deals, that's today. They slashed 21% off the price, bringing it to $15.89. So if you want that Milwaukee tool flag for your garage or your man cave or whatever, go to Amazon and find it right now, and you're going to get a deal. That's what we're doing on The Upswing, making your garage even more festive and civic pride ready with a Milwaukee flag with Milwaukee Tool. When we come back, why aren't the candidates stopping at local coffee shops and diners? They're doing big events all around town, but they're not making the standard pop-ins like they used to. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined today by Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, from the WTMJ Talk and Text Line, which is 855-616-1620. From the 262, didn't McDowell's have the golden arches for the logo from that Coming to America movie with Eddie Murphy? Yes, that was McDowell's. What McDonald's did in downtown LA for this chicken nugget Big Mac was call it McDonald's. So, yeah, creative marketing to debut a product. We're talking about it. Try it out if you want. You know, chicken sandwiches are all the rage for sure. And it's interesting to see the chicken Big Mac being debuted around the country. So, Rich, obviously, Wisconsin and Milwaukee are kind of the epicenter of the political world right now. We're getting a lot of candidate visits. They used to stop at local businesses for publicity, you know, stop in, talk to people, shake some hands, kiss some babies. But we're not seeing that anymore. Is it just the world has changed? Or are you hearing anything on this?
Well, thanks to you, I'm hearing things about it. But yeah, that's now that you mention it. Other than you know, Joe Biden stopping for ice cream somewhere,
right?
But he's not running anymore, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, it brought to mind back when the Business Journal was more actively covering politics.
Yeah.
I went to Brady Street Pharmacy, which is now closed, but they had a diner in there. In addition to a pharmacy, back in 2008, John mm-hmm. Edwards, who was a Democratic candidate at that time, before he dropped out amid a scandal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just sort of part of the deal that, yeah, okay, you're running for, whether it's, in that case it was the primary for the Democratic mm-hmm. Nomination, stop by some local, you know, you check ahead of time to make sure it's okay. But, yeah, just looking, I mean, Miss Katie's Diner near the Marquette campus on the sort of near west side of Milwaukee is one of those places that has hosted yeah. candidates over the years. It looks like the last time that happened was Donald Trump stopped in 2016. But okay. Now nothing this go around.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, the strategic stops are mainly about, you know, immersing themselves in the community. But the bigger speeches now, you know, that's the focus. And the Wall Street Journal had a story just this week about this nationwide that, you know, mainly the candidates are they're doing their events and they're not stopping at local places as much. You know, obviously the Penzies, you know, get Kamala Harris stopped at Penzies, but you don't get that type of stop because the businesses are saying they just don't want to go through the logistics and the hassle first from a security standpoint. And then post-event, they kind of have to deal, no matter what side of the coin you're on, you got to deal with the social media. And, you know, sometimes it's just, it's too much for a small business to handle all that. It'll be interesting to see how it continues, obviously. But representatives for both the Harris and Trump campaigns said that their candidates continued to visit with and see strong support from small businesses, of course, and they're going to say that, but they're just not stopping at as many locations as they used to. As you said, Miss Katie's Diner had Bill Clinton and German Chancellor Kohl. That was May of 1996, and I think they still actively promote that when you go into Miss Katie's.
Yeah, I think, now I haven't been in there since last winter, but they still had the, yeah, like the cutout, the stand-up cardboard thing with a yeah. picture. I think they had Michelle Obama and Hillary in there. I don't remember if they had Mr. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was like a big deal because they had the spotlight maybe nationally or internationally in the case of Chancellor Kohl's visit.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Germany, Kenosha has big plans to break ground on two more manufacturing plants next year. What do you know about this? And what's the price tag? And are there public dollars involved?
Yes. So it's a company called Schütz Container.
Okay.
With an umlaut on it. They're from Germany. You know, from our perspective and just about everyone else's, seems came out of nowhere and decided to build a plant in the city of Kenosha on 60th Street. And that plant is well underway. That one's in the $35 to $38 million range.
Yeah.
They're going to employ about 90 to 95 people for starters on first shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be complete early part of next year. They make containers, as you might imagine, okay, from the name of the business.
Yeah.
Plastic containers with metal cages around them for, you know, putting, you know, large quantities of liquids for whatever use, could be industrial or other. Anyway, yeah, then the new news this week is that the company was back before the Kenosha Common Council. It was a meeting Monday night for a rezoning for another property on 70th Avenue. And they're talking about two plants. Two additional plants that they want to start construction on in spring of 2025. These will sort of complement the one that already started. They are going to have to start again on first shift about 55 employees when that opens in 2026. And the company's doing this with their own funds, so they're not seeking any subsidies from the city or the state.
Yeah, yeah, self-funding the projects, and so no subsidies involved, but obviously some job positive impact. And how many global employees for the company?
I think it's about 7,000.
Okay.
Yeah, the only thing I got about the location was that both of them are on rail lines, and they do get their raw materials delivered by rail.
All right. There's news of another hotel in Kenosha and another well-known business coming to Kenosha. Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, joins us. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, commerce and community. That's what we do. We also invite you to participate in the WTMJ Fall 2024 Fan Survey. Really easy. Takes less than 10 minutes to complete. We want your feedback on the station, on the shows. Always appreciate the feedback that I get via social media and email. All the outreach, for sure. To participate in the survey, all you have to do is text the word survey to the WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. You'll get the link texted back to you as a thank you for participating. You will be entered in a contest to win two Milwaukee Bucks tickets for the upcoming season. Preseason begins at home tomorrow night, and an overnight stay at the Pfister Hotel right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. So, Rich, just kind of want to finish up our Kenosha conversation. It's a hotbed of development for sure all around Greater Kenosha, Pleasant Prairie, without a doubt, with the Microsoft development. But there's news of another possible hotel in the area.
Right, right. It's a 95-room hotel, which would be a Town Place Suites by Marriott, developed by Shiva Hotels in Kansas, four stories, 53,000 square feet on 125th, is it Street or Avenue? I know it's one or the other.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, always good to see more hotel options, you know, between here and Chicago. We need them for sure. And I hear there's a new Quick Trip coming to that area as well.
Can't get enough Quick Trip.
That's right.
This would be in the heart of the city. This would not be like so much of the development is on the outskirts or in the suburban areas of Kenosha. I have to apologize. I'm not a Kenosha guy, so it's on 30th.
Okay,
it's on 30th. It used to be a supper club.
Okay,
sort of. It looks like it's sort of on the west side or near west side of Kenosha, and another quick trip. It'll be, I believe, the 8th within the city of Kenosha.
Okay.
So a redevelopment site, and I believe that's going to open in 2025.
All right. Very good. Well, quickly, doubles meant big bucks for the Brewers and specifically for the Hunger Task Force this year. Got this news a couple days ago. The Brewers and Sargento, every year they team up to support hungry families in Milwaukee. Every time the Brewers hit a double during the regular season, Sargento donated $200 to the Hunger Task Force. 249 doubles were hit this season, so that's $49,800 that was donated to the Hunger Task Force. I always love these quick kind of hitting stories. Since the inception of the doubles helping for hunger, Sargento has donated almost $298,000 to the Hunger Task Force. So speaking of the Brewers, you were at the event last night, or yesterday, right? Correctly? Seemingly not a lot of money in the regional sports networks like Bally Sports. And with the bankruptcy of Bally Sports, the Brewers, Major League Baseball, kind of stepping up to take over the broadcasts.
Yeah, I had forgotten about this, but the Major League Commissioner had been in Milwaukee last year and had a press conference and said that MLB was ready to step in. The question came up, well, what about the future of Diamond Sports? They're in bankruptcy. They own Bally Sports Wisconsin. And sure enough, three teams this year, their broadcasts were produced by Major League Baseball. And now the Brewers are going to do the same thing for the 2025 season. A lot of questions, of course, from Brewer fans. How, yeah. You know, where can we find the games? How much is it going to cost? And so Rick Schlesinger, business president of the Brewers, held a press conference yesterday afternoon at American Family Field. And the good news for those of us who don't like change is if you are already a subscriber of cable or satellite TV, it's essentially just going to be a different channel.
Right.
And
a different name, a different channel.
And Rick said it's going to be called Brewers TV, and it's really going to exist, at least initially, just to carry the Brewers games, pregame show, postgame show. Same personalities, okay. You know, Brian Anderson, Bill Schroeder, right, Jeff Levering.
Well, there could be some impact with the Bucks after this season. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break.
Is that coffee?
That's it. I'm getting 100 cups of coffee, starting now.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Smells good.
Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, always giving you coffee costs throughout the area, trying to stop at different places, give you our insights, and even a little bit of analysis. I had an early meeting in Whitefish Bay, so I drove down Silver Spring. I went to the Starbucks there. I kind of liking this Milano Luna blend that they have. It's really, really good, really smooth. They got the 12-ounce, the tall at Starbucks, $2.65. Add that 17 cent tax. So it's $2.82 for my morning coffee. Jaslyn, where'd you go? You're bringing the creativity.
Well, I'm trying to find as many places before. I don't want to repeat places just yet.
Yes.
But I went to Interval in Bayview, which is like right where Kinnickinnick and Howell intersect, which is interesting because that's like right across the street from Colectivo. Yeah. And for a while, I thought it wasn't open until later, but no, it opened at 7, so
okay.
Just grabbed a coffee, and it was pretty good.
All right.
I actually asked for cream and sugar this time.
All right. How much? What did it set you back?
$4, but it was $4. Good, so I can take it. And I always got to leave a dollar tip, so it wasn't too bad. As long as I pay 5 or under, I'm fine.
All right. Very good. Always a lot of great development happening in Milwaukee's Bayview
Aren't
neighborhood, for sure.
Aren't you going to ask me about my coffee experience,
Rich,
Chef?
Rich, you're next up. What'd you do?
I didn't spend a penny on my coffee.
Right.
See, I was thrifty today and too busy
like
to
it.
Stop at the coffee shop. So I took advantage of the Keurig machine in our office.
Okay.
And got some Dunkin' original flavor.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We're covering all the bases for sure. All right, I wanted to go back to our Brewers Bally Sports conversation a little bit there. In terms of Bally's with the Bucks, you know, what after this next season, what are some of the possible scenarios on the NBA side for our local team?
Yeah, so at the moment, the Bucks are on Bally Sports, in spite of the Brewers not being on there anymore in the future. The Bucks are slated to be on Bally Sports throughout the 24-25 season. So the question is, what happens after that? There was a story in Sports Business Journal, which is part of our company, saying that the speculation was that once the Brewers left Bally Sports Wisconsin, that was the end of the network, because they really need to have the two teams. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much year-round then because of the way their seasons overlap. But losing the Brewers is most likely going to mean the end of Bally Sports Wisconsin. Yeah. So Peter Fagan of the Bucks, he has talked about this in the past, the team president. I mean, he sort of liked it, and they tried it last season with some broadcast games on Channel 58 and one of their sister stations right here in Milwaukee. So you can never rule that out.
Right.
But the Major League Baseball seems to be further along in terms of its own production of TV, of television, and taking it over. The NBA seems to be looking to work with partners, you know, Amazon, someone else who might be able to produce it.
Yeah.
So I don't think the Bucks will be on their own as sort of a free agent on this. It seems like it's an NBA problem, and they'll get involved, certainly.
And it's not, seeing from the Brewers' lens, what we heard yesterday, it seems like there's an excitement about almost taking it in-house and having a more control over what they can do during the broadcasts.
Yeah. In talking with some of the Brewers folks yesterday, the good news is they have more control on, you know, what's in the broadcast, how it's presented. Again, they're going to keep the same talent, on-air talent. That being said, now, Tyler Barnes from the Brewers told me that, their arrangement with Bally Sports, all they had to do was, they signed the contract and Bally Sports took care of the whole thing.
Right.
So the Brewers get more control. They also have to set up an operation now in-house. So, I think the Bucks would be up for that kind of thing as well, assuming that's what happens.
Yeah. I mean, reality is sports organizations are media companies and they have people in-house that have the skills to execute these type of programs. But as you mentioned, yes, it is definitely additional work for the teams, but it's also more control and more creativity. So it'll be interesting to see how kind of both the teams take this as an opportunity to move forward. And just to kind of put a bow on it, the Brewers broadcast will be available then via the MLB NAP app. That's the paid portion.
Right, for streaming. And that was for the teams that were with MLB this year, it was $99.
Yeah.
And Rick Schlesinger from the Brewers said, that's sort of a starting point, somewhere in that neighborhood for the Brewers streaming next season.
All right, very good. When we come back, a well-known restaurant, possibly, coming to the Third Ward. Let's speculate a little bit. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Business headlines today with senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen. Rich, always appreciate you taking the time. So a headline that kind of stuck out to me as I was scrolling, a well-known restaurant coming to the Third Ward. Local restaurant concept is slated to fill that ground floor restaurant in the new 333 Water apartment building, and beautiful building. That's right, kind of as you go over St. Paul, right before the Milwaukee Public Market. The developer says that, quote, a well-known local restaurant they are in negotiations with. Any speculation or a time frame on this?
I can tell you who it's not going to be. McDowell's. Other than that, it is pure speculation. Yes. I mean, we can guess. Well known. There's a short list in terms of some of the restaurant groups in town.
Yeah.
yeah, there certainly are some, you know, standalone restaurants in the downtown area that could have an interest. The timing is, they're saying they expect a lease to be finalized in about 6 weeks.
Okay.
So we should know before the end of the year.
Yeah. And residents began moving into this complex in June. The developer said that the apartments are about 18% leased and it's 60 leases signed. So, you know, kind of creating additional density in the third ward. I mean, I agree. I think there are a handful of larger restaurant groups that could and would want marquee space on the Riverwalk. And then there's maybe some existing high-end restaurants that may need to move for whatever reason or want a second location, even though they have one location downtown. I would expect something like that, but you never know. Like, I think for a concept like this, such a marquee location, probably a little higher on the lease side, it might even be a national concept.
Right. Well, you've got Carson's at the Modern in the Arena District. You know, the model for this could be Loopy and Iris, which is at the 777 high-rise luxury apartments. The Heinz project in the Third Ward is also high-rise luxury apartments. Now, there's only one Loopy and Iris.
Yeah.
So, right, would it be another standalone restaurateur that wants to move there? Parking becomes a question right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would have to make arrangements for that in the building because street parking would be very difficult to come by. And then the perception, too, that, well, yeah, it's a great building. It's on the river.
Right.
Where do you park? This is Milwaukee. We're not going to walk anywhere.
Well, you know, you're going to park on the east side of the river, and you're going to walk. You know, park in one of the garages. A lot of street parking in the Third Ward, and I think that's what the city wants too. Is they want that park once concept to have people walk around downtown, especially to get to, you know, marquee destinations like this restaurant will probably be. So it kind of fits into the connections and the connectivity of what the mayor and Department of Public Works want in downtown development. Well, when we talk downtown development, the Port of Milwaukee isn't downtown, but is a marquee portion of what we want to do economic development-wise in Milwaukee. When we come back, city budget and what it means for the expansion of the Port of Milwaukee. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, joins us. Fast and furious business headlines. A lot happening at the Port of Milwaukee, of course, all summer long. Cruise ships from across the world coming to dock at Milwaukee. But now we need to complete and expand the Port of Milwaukee. What does the city have in its budget?
Some of the cruise ships park or dock near the Discovery World, but others do go to Jones Island, which, you know, the port director describes as, you know, stinky and dirty. So it has a foul odor. So the idea is to create a more welcoming and aesthetically pleasing dock. And this would be right near where the Lake Express Ferry is.
Okay.
And Mayor Johnson has included $17 million for this new dock in his budget. Of course, that still has to go through the Common Council.
Right.
But the idea would be to have this dock open by 2026's cruise season.
Okay. All right. And will there be additional dollars then needed to complete this project? I'm guessing there's probably some state funding that's needed.
Well, the port did receive $3.5 million grant from the Wisconsin Department of Tourism for developing this new dock. I'm sure they might look for money in other places as well.
All right. Well, let's move from sea to land, if you will, to pickleball. Continues to be a hot topic for sure, not only in the business development world, but just in the recreation world. Everyone seems to be playing pickleball. A lot of, I don't know, competition, if you will, for the national franchises to come into the market But the first big indoor pickleball facility coming to
South Milwaukee.
All right. What do you know about this?
Well, this would be at 305 North Chicago Avenue, which for me, not being from South Milwaukee, is confusing. You have a street with North on it. But anyway, $2.5 million project, Premier Pickleball Center. And this had been an indoor soccer facility most recently. They're looking at, they've told the city of South Milwaukee that they want to open this year yet. Hmm. And they're also looking to include a third-party operator for a restaurant and supper club.
Yeah.
So it'll be more than pickleball.
All right. Yeah. No, I heard that the building owner is also the business owner, and he's hired a designer who's going to manage the club. The supper club is planned. And kind of looking at a supper club concept to be adjacent to the pickleball facility. So, I mean, I heard that. So, it's an old lounge space that will be retrofitted into a supper club. So, we'll have the national premier pickleball center, but then an old school supper club attached to it, which is an interesting model. And I think as you look at kind of the expansion of these facilities across the area, you know, they're all going to be competing with other fitness centers, the elites, YMCAs, and otherwise. So, I mean, how do you see that model shaking out?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the challenge because I suppose the pie is growing some here. There are pickleball players who are not members of existing athletic clubs and facilities. That being said, you know, it's sort of that same pot of money, you know, that people have discretionary money that they want to spend on whatever workout facilities. So, it's not like they're just all the pickleball. Yes, the new pickleball centers are competing with each other, but they like you said, they're competing with the Y, with the Wisconsin Athletic Club, and on.
Yeah, and as more people start playing the sport and get used to it during the summer months, obviously it's really easy to go to your local rec center or your tennis court that's already been retrofitted.
Yes.
But you're going to want a warm weather destination, and I think that's where the opportunity could be for these centers. All right, Rich, appreciate your time and insights this morning.